So, one of the things to hold is the idea that the Lord is the Word, or the Word is the Lord. That kind of removes natural person to some degree from our thought. The thing about the stories, which are all time, space, person based in terms of the letter, is that they are representations of what unfolds so far as the regeneration of the human mind is concerned. So you have representative images that support that inner work. And that's the function of the idea of the Lord in person, place, time, and space. It forms the bottom rung. But if we get stuck in there, then our ideas of, as you've mentioned, the idea of the Lord being angry, or, it's hard to get away from what is clearly in the letter in that situation, right? But as soon as you see that what it's describing is how we perceive the Lord in us when that work of regeneration is moving forward, then it's not the Lord that's angry, it's that we experience the presence of the divine truth as something that's going to disrupt our inner world, and therefore we perceive that anger in that. So it's all about our state, and this is the difficult thing we have is flipping it because we're so literal, because we're in the natural, and that's the process. It takes work to start thinking of the Lord in a different way. And that work has to be done as of self. It has to feel like we are in the struggle. Otherwise, we don't appropriate anything to that as of self. So the writings or divine revelation gets presented to meet every level of state. For those who think in terms of persons and think of heaven as a place and hell as a place and the Lord being a judge and all of that dimension of things that are found at the letter, that serves in that it offers people who think from that a religion, and it offers an opportunity to be taken deeper. It's the starting point. But when you come to divine revelation more as something that's designed to work on the level of our own regeneration, then all those statements then get turned inward, and you begin working with them in an inward way, and they describe things externally in a representative way. And that gives the basis for being able to become more aligned internally with what's being spoken about. So those people who are cast into hell are actually read at a more interior level. It's talking about states in us that don't align with what is of heaven being cast into hell. And the fact that it's eternal is a good thing because it means that those states won't return. Think of it like what we got was a written word that can meet these states at the lowest level. So the Lord's coming was about bringing the word, and critical to the word, and what's locked in, if you take the New Testament word, what's locked in is that the Lord is human, right? That's locked in. Whether you accept it or not, that's a different story, but it's locked in so far as the sacred scripture goes. It's embedded in the rock. And then what you have in the Third Testament, in the writings, is the expansion of this idea of the Lord as a divine human. You need everything that's gone before as the foundation for thinking more interiorly. So you're not getting rid of what's in the letter of the word. The letter of the word is actually serving the function for which it was given. But unfortunately, what happens with human propensity toward externals is that we make an idol out of the letter, if you like, and remain embedded in ideas of person, place, time, and space. And that cannot free you from the patterns of thinking and feeling that entrap us, like that proprial level. It's only as you go more interiorly and start to look at these things from a more internal perspective that those things can then be opened up. And that's what salvation is about. It's this idea that the Lord isn't saving our proprial self. The Lord is saving us from it. You know, unless you lose your life, you cannot find it. Like all those ideas about, you know, we have to die before we can be resurrected. This all has to do with the transition from that sense of self that we've built up through our external contact with the world, laying that down through the recognition that the Lord alone is the one who has life. The Lord alone has proprium. That's the critical idea there. So when it talks about the Lord making his human divine, the human is truth. Truth divine is how Potts describes it. Small t, truth, capital D, divine. To draw a distinction between divine truth, capital D, capital T. So that's how it's distinguished in the text. And interiorly, when the word is truth divine, it is not yet recognized to be the Lord. And so the whole idea of glorification is the idea of truth becoming good. Now, it's never been a case that the truth that the Lord is hasn't been good. So the making of it into something describes our experiencing of the Lord making truth good. It's the revelation that truth is good in a form that can be intellectually grasped. It's not that the Lord is changing anything in himself as such.